Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 1120 KMOX.
Hey, I heard you missed us. We're back. Yeah.
This is Overtime.
Are you ready?
You guys ready?
It is 8:33. Welcome to Overtime. It's Tuesday, the 23rd of April. Charlie Brennan joining us here in Studio B.
Good morning, Debbie.
Along with Brad Young of Harris Dahl Fisher and Young. Good morning.
Good morning, Debbie.
All right. Yesterday, of course, was Earth Day, and members of KMOX and the all of Entercom STL left the office for several hours, and our goal... it was actually company-wide all across the country. All of our Entercom teams did a special project for Earth Day, and ours was picking up trash around downtown parks. So whether it was Keener Plaza or the park right outside out here in front of Soldiers Memorial, dozens and dozens of trash bags. They were taking pictures and showing how much trash they'd picked up. And then, of course, yesterday was really windy. So the wind was blowing around all afternoon, and if you drove past in the afternoon, you might have said, they did what? They picked up what? Because the trash just blew right back in again. So, Charlie, I know this is a personal peccadillo of the two. We both hate litter, and I know we've complained about it before, but what do you think can be done to stop people from littering?
Well, it's the question. And I did see this last night. Beth and I walked from here to Busch Stadium, and our Entercom team had kind of targeted a lot of the parks along Market Street, and that's how we walked to Busch Stadium, and we did see the litter. And I guess eternal vigilance is the price we pay to get rid of litter. Anybody who has a home with sweet gum balls or a front yard or whatever, you see every week, you know, you have to get out there and pick it up. It never ends. And I guess on a windy day, you're just going to see more and more of it.
Well, it's a culture thing. And we haven't developed necessarily the culture that says this is important. We shouldn't be littering. And I don't know how we encourage that, but it's something that needs to be ingrained in us that you have to think beyond throwing something on the ground, because if you throw it on the ground, somebody else is going to have to pick it up. And I don't know how we ingrain that. I don't think it's a government policy thing, but we as a culture need to understand that this is wrong and we need to stop doing this.
I will say, when you come to downtown St. Louis, you will see a lot of guys who, you know, they're part of the homeless community, and they may not have a lot of life skills, and they're battling a lot of demons. But it would seem to me that they're hanging around, and they could certainly pick up litter. Now, I don't know who's going to organize that, how it'd be funded, but there's got to be an incentive. Give these guys a bag, bring it back full, and we'll give you $20 or something like that. And of course, you get in trouble with the, I don't know, IRS or something. Someone would put a damper on it. But we do have the potential labor in downtown St. Louis right now.
But not to point too many fingers, but sometimes that particular group is responsible for a lot of the litter. Because
sure.
If you notice, when you drive by on 14th past Entercom Center, there are a lot of people who sleep on those grates right there, right by the entrance to Entercom Center. And it is so filled with trash just around where they hang out. And I'm always kind of shocked that the Blues don't go up and clean that up, because we went to a game one night and it was like wading through trash.
They did clean it up one day last week. Okay, so it would have been for game number... it was the Tuesday game. So 1, 2, 3, 4. I think it was game 4. The group that ordinarily was on that grate was mysteriously gone, and there were two police cruisers at that grate. And then I don't know what happened on Saturday, if they were still there or gone. But, yeah, they do leave a lot of their belongings.
A lot of garbage there.
It's true.
All right. Well, this is a question for the ages that never gets solved and maybe never will. But trustees for Social Security are now warning that the program soon won't be able to pay out full benefits unless Congress takes action. We had the report yesterday that Social Security and Medicare are going to reach insolvency, I don't know, in one of them in the next 10 years and the other in the next 15 or so. Anyway, by 2035, Social Security will only pay out about 75% of the benefits that you paid in. The trustees are calling on Congress to ensure that Americans will get full retirement benefits. And Treasury Secretary Mnuchin says lawmakers have a broad continuum of policy options to keep Social Security afloat, which we know, but let's be honest, they haven't done anything for years. You probably, Brad, may get some Social Security benefits. I don't know, but are you counting on your kids getting them?
Well, I'm not counting on any of it, but this is a fascinating topic for me because, to me, this is like the immigration issue, and that is we know how to fix immigration. We know how to fix Social Security. There have been multiple blue ribbon panels that tell us how to fix Social Security. It's a three-step program. It's very simple. You means test the benefits. If you make more than X amount of money, then you don't get Social Security benefits. You also reduce benefits and you make them payable on a more gradual basis. And then you increase taxes. Everybody's in agreement that's how you fix Social Security. But nobody does it. Why? Because for Washington, it's more important to argue about it than it is to fix it. Just like immigration. Immigration's not that difficult to solve, but nobody wants to solve it because the benefit is in the argument, not in the solution.
Yeah, I'm not too crazy about reducing benefits because then you're going to find some people who will not want to be in it whatsoever.
Do you have a choice, though? You still have to pay into Social Security, right?
Right now, you only pay Social Security up to $127,000, I think. So maybe they can increase that to $140,000, $150,000. And it's a hefty tax because, it's about 6% by the employer and by the employee. It really adds up. So, but it used to be, I think, $98,000, then it was $110,000. So
it goes up every year.
Goes up every year, yeah.
Do you think Brad has a point, though? There's more politicians get more bang for their buck out of arguing about it than actually fixing it?
Like everything in Washington. They're all running on the issue, you know, from immigration to abortion. Abortion, they don't do anything about abortion. But boy, do they run on it and raise money on it.
All right, we need to take a break because that's what we run on. Traffic and weather together after this.
Overtime continues.
That's incredibly cool.
That's awesome.
On KMOX.
8:42, I'm Debbie Monterey, along with Brad Young of Harris Dowell Fisher & Young and Charlie Brennan of The Charlie Brennan Show. Speaking at a CNN town hall, Senator Bernie Sanders argued that all prisoners, including domestic terrorists like the Boston Marathon bomber, should have the right to vote while they are incarcerated. He said, "I think the right to vote is inherent to our democracy, even for terrible people, because once you start chipping away, you're running down a slippery slope. I do believe that even if they are in jail, they're paying their price to society, but that should not take away their inherent American right to participate." Now, the head of the RNC used the opportunity to call all Democrats radicals and Sanders' position beyond extreme. Now, Brad, we have talked about felons voting, but I think that's more in reference to people who have served their time and are out of jail. Is this a radical thought for you?
It is. And it is for me for several reasons. First of all, Mr. Sanders states that the right to vote is inherent to our democracy. Would he also agree that the freedom of speech is inherent to our democracy? Because when you're in prison, you violate, or rather your freedom of speech is taken away from you. You can't go and shout and scream and yell at anything that you want. You can't have conversations with people that you want. That's restricted. So is not the freedom of speech inherent to our democracy? How about the freedom of association? That's obviously curtailed when you're in prison, and yet that too is inherent to our democracy. So the entire concept of prison is about taking away rights that are inherent to our democracy, and the right to vote is one of those. I have no problem with it.
It's unbelievable. Lord, oh my gosh. The examples given to Bernie Sanders were the Boston Marathon bomber. Should they have the right to vote? He's saying yes. How about a child abuser who's in prison? I mean, I think you can do things to forfeit your right to vote. And I honestly don't even think Bernie Sanders believes this. I think that he just must think that there is some wing in America that believes that people are in jail, or should I say prison, for heinous crimes, able to make good policy decisions on who should be our leaders. You know, think about this. It's just I'm really surprised.
But if your goal, though, is to add as many potential voters as you possibly can, then you can adopt this position. And yet it's ridiculous to say the person who makes the decision to bomb people at the Boston Marathon, I'm really interested in that person's decision-making ability when it comes to their choice of candidates. I mean, it's patently absurd unless you're looking at it from the perspective of they're only trolling for votes.
Well, he could be trolling for votes, but currently that population doesn't have the vote. So who's he appealing to?
Well, he's appealing to give them the right to vote, which would then, of course...
Oh, and then he'll be endeared to them because he's the guy who...
Brought them the right to vote.
Brought them the right to vote, the great emancipator. Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, I can you imagine that? Just seeing photos of prisoners lining up at Potosi to cast their votes on governor or whatever, or and president of the United States.
And swapping cigarettes for votes. I mean, they could be doing that too. Hey, vote for my guy and I'll give you a pack of smokes.
How about a guy who's on death row, and he's scheduled for execution on Wednesday, so he votes on Tuesday?
Can he vote absentee?
Yeah, well, it depends. Exactly. If he's getting executed on Monday, he would have to vote absentee. Yes, he would.
In a way, I kind of thought the question was, when they ask him and he says, yes, people in jail should vote. And then they go, well, what about the Boston Marathon bomber? And then what's his choice? And go, well, not him. Or he can just ride it to the end. It kind of reminded me of when they asked Michael Dukakis, so you're against the death penalty? What about if your wife, Kitty Dukakis, were raped and murdered? You know what I mean? It's kind of like so you believe in this. Well, what about? Let's give you the most extreme example.
But those are realities.
I know, but I'm just saying.
With the Tsarnaya brothers, were they U.S. citizens?
One of them is dead.
Yeah, right.
I believe they were U.S. citizens.
Were they? Okay.
Yeah, they became U.S. citizens. All right, I have... another legal question here, so I'm going to go first with you, Brad. I just came across this story this morning. I thought it was fascinating. 1996, this yodeler named Wiley Gustafson got a phone call that an up-and-coming company called Yahoo wanted him to yodel their name for their ear-catching regional ad. It was just going to be a regional ad, so they paid him about $600 for it. 2 years later, he hears his yodel in a Yahoo commercial during the Super Bowl. Yahoo went on to use it in all of their giveaways and promotional items. It became the hallmark of their company, known around the world. So he tried for several years to get a hold of Yahoo, and they never contacted him. So finally, he sued, and finally, after years, he signed a non-disclosure, so we don't know what he got, but we think he got a few million. Now, some people are critical of Wiley for suing, but don't you think he had a pretty good case here if they told him this is just a little regional ad?
Well, I think he had a fantastic case, and I would have encouraged him to litigate for that very reason, because as you well know, in this business, if you don't sign away those rights to future residuals or to future entitlement to compensation for the continued use of your talent, then you're entitled to get paid for that. So I'm thrilled that he sued. I'm certainly thrilled that his lawyers got paid, because that's obviously extremely important when the lawyers get paid. But having said that, no, seriously, he had a very good case. I'm glad he pursued it. And it demonstrates that when Yahoo was smaller, they weren't thinking necessarily that they were going to be the powerhouse that they became. And so they just paid a guy some money and he did a yodel. But when it grew, his entitlement also grew.
I'm not sure. The law might be different in Missouri. You said if you don't sign away, you are entitled to it. I think in this state, unless you sign an agreement saying what's going to happen to your voice, as our unions like the SAG-AFTRA union requires, then your voice can be played in perpetuity and you will receive bupkis except for whatever you got initially. Let's say I record a non-union commercial in St. Louis. That can be played forever and a day. Now, if I sign it with SAG-AFTRA, they'll say, okay, you're going to get X amount of money for the first year, X amount of money for the second year, and if there is a third year, God love you, here's how much you're going to get.
So I guess the benefits of some union protection. He didn't sign a SAG-AFTRA agreement.
Well, no, he didn't, and people don't think about that. They often don't, but it can happen. I've met many people in St. Louis who recorded commercials, and they're heard 10 years later, and they're not getting a penny.
But in this instance, we certainly don't know how much a settlement was for, but I can virtually promise you that had he signed an agreement at the time that it was recorded when Yahoo was extremely small, it would not have compensated him as much as what he ultimately received. I'd like to see the numbers.
Yeah, and I think in his case, his advantage was that Yahoo is so visible in public and had a reputation to protect. And so he was able to make this a case.
Exactly.
And get public sentiment on his side.
Exactly.
But if it was with Bob's landscaping company, he probably wouldn't be in such good shape.
Would either of you like to do the Yahoo yodel as we head out to a commercial
break? I'd like to hear Charlie do that. I think, you know, you've got the pipes for it.
I don't even know what this yodel's all about.
Really?
How does it sound?
Oh, come on.
Tell us about it. What does it sound like, Debbie?
Yahoo!
It is really good.
Thank you.
It's even the right pitch. You got the right pitch on that. That's impressive.
She is part Swiss or something, isn't she?
Dutch. Same thing. 8:50 here at the Voice of St. Louis.
Overtime continues.
If you'd like to celebrate, I'd be okay with that.
On KMOX.
Love it!
It's 8:54. I'm Debbie Monterey, along with Charlie Brennan and Brad Young of Harris Dahl Fisher & Young. And we have just found out that the Shell building, which, can we see it from the windows here? It's a neighbor of ours here. It's a beautiful building in downtown St. Louis, Locust and 13th, kitty corner from the Central Library. It once headquartered Shell Petroleum, and it may find new life as a hotel. A group of Arkansas developers submitting a $38 million redevelopment plan for the 12-story building that opened in 1926. My first thought, Charlie, was another downtown hotel? What are your thoughts?
Well, according to Bob O'Loughlin, who knows a thing or two about hotels, of course, he said that when the Millennium Hotel went out of business, that freed up 800 rooms and it had to be made up. So that did open an opportunity for a lot of others to move in. And the concern I have here, I love hotels. Shell Building's historic. Jimmy Doolittle, the great World War II flying ace, worked in there. So we really got to put a plaque up there. But what they are talking about is property tax abatement over 10 years. That means money the schools won't get, as well as national historic tax credits. That's federal money. And then there's a state historic tax credit. That's state money. So if you're concerned about the state or federal budget, hey, it's great to have a renovated hotel, but just know that's less money in the till.
Yeah, and the analysis needs to be, and I'm glad you set it up, Charlie, the way you did, about there was the elimination of 800 hotel room spaces. But this is clearly, at least from what I've read, is being driven by the desire to obtain tax credits and not the economic need for additional hotel space. And now I'd like to see the numbers on that, but if it's being driven by the tax abatement issue or the tax abatement benefit, then we need to take another look at this.
All right, and one last quick question. The Goody Goody Diner on Goodfellow and Natural Bridge sadly caught fire last night.
No.
It didn't destroy the building, but it's probably going to be closed for some time. Have you eaten at the Goody Goody, Brad?
Many times.
Charlie?
I have never been to the Goody Goody.
We did our show one morning from the Goody Goody years ago. I still have my Goody Goody coffee cup. So it is definitely an iconic building since 1948. So we wish them all the best. And someone was saying they were going to do a GoFundMe to help help them get back on track. So we'll keep you posted on that. It's 8:57 at the Voice of St. Louis.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.